pray without ceasing was St. Paul's message to the early Christians as they began to disagree over the interpretation of their faith. And pray without ceasing is also the theme for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, exactly 100 years after the first Octave for Church Unity was inaugurated in New York by an Episcopalian vicar, Father Paul Watson, who later converted and became a Catholic priest. To further this ecumenical mission, Father Paul and Mother Lurana White co-founded the Society of the Atonement, which today works in countries around the world in social ministry, justice and peace, and above all, the promotion of Christian unity. Over the past 40 years since the Second Vatican Council, the annual Week of Prayer for Christian Unity has become such a regular observance, it's worth taking a moment to look back and recall just what a bold and brave initiative these pioneers of the ecumenical movement were taking back in 1908.
It was indeed a very brave initiative, and over the last 100 years, it has become a regular and fixed feature in the life of most Christian churches, and so it's a considerable achievement.
Bishop John Flack is the outgoing director of Rome's Anglican Centre. For the past 5 years, he's represented the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury here in the Vatican and worked to further the dialogue between the Catholic Church and the worldwide Anglican Communion.
Where I think we need to go on is not just to have ecumenism for 1 week of the year, but to make it part of every church's regular life.
Because it has become such a regular thing, it's perhaps difficult to find a new impetus, isn't it, to rediscover that courage that perhaps the people 100 years ago were looking at.
Yes, I think that's true. It is not easy to find a new focus. And I think it's even harder in a country like Italy, where 95% of people are Roman Catholics. So to find ecumenical partners is not as easy as it is in the multi-church situation in England or America.
Let's look a little bit about the kind of events that normally take place in England. Most churches up and down the country do mark this, don't they?
Yes, they do. And typically they will have united services, they will have exchange of pulpits so that an Anglican priest may preach in the Catholic Church and vice versa. They will certainly have public meetings in the evening where speakers will explore the whole ecumenical situation. And I've been doing a number of those meetings in England in previous years in this week.
This year, we're looking at the theme taken from St. Paul's writings to the Thessalonians, to pray unceasingly. That's the focus for all these activities this week. Paul, of course, was witnessing the divisions among the first Christian communities. How can we perhaps draw on the inspiration of his words for our situation of divided churches today?
Yes, well, the whole thing of preghiamo continuamente is very important, and the undergirding of our ecumenical discussions with prayer is vital. And in that context, I would, for instance, mention the Focolari movement, who have been wonderful in spending so much time praying for the unity of the church, which strengthens and upholds what we try to do in the week.
We think of ecumenism also in terms of collaboration on different projects, for example, social justice and so on. It's sometimes easy to lose sight of this prayer dimension, isn't it?
Yes, it's very easy to lose part of the prayer dimension. Again, we could mention the Comunità di Sant'Egidio, which meets daily for prayer, but also operates its works in a very ecumenical way.
The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity ends here in Rome with the great liturgy in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls. You've attended that liturgy, haven't you, each year during your time here. Tell us what it means to you very personally and the symbolism of this service.
Well, of course, it's the principal time in the year when I share the leadership of a liturgy with the Holy Father, and that's a very great privilege and honour and something I shall always remember. I think, too, it's the sight of St. Paul without the walls, full of thousands of people, and the realisation that many, many ordinary Catholics and Christians of other churches regard unity as still being an important goal, not something we should lose sight of despite the many obstacles. So it's a hopeful time in which I realise again that unity is still very much on the agenda.
Say the divisions within the Anglican world today and the difficulties that the worldwide community is facing makes it hard to look at this question of unity with other churches.
Yes.
The Anglican community is more seen as more focused on its own internal divisions.
Yes.
What's your reaction to that?
Yes, well, that's, I think, very much what the Archbishop of Canterbury is saying to us, that we must not be so concerned with our own problems as to miss what's happening out there in the world. And one of the things that I have always hoped is that the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Archbishop of York and other Anglican leaders will unite with the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church in speaking of the issues which very much are the concern of ordinary people: the future of the environment and the planet, the ending of poverty, the challenge to terrorism and violence in the world, and to religious fundamentalism. And to me, those things are of far more importance than the internal struggles of the churches. And I hope that one of the things that will draw us together is some concentration on those world issues.
The forthcoming Lambeth Conference in July and August is being seen as a defining moment for the Anglican Communion. What are your hopes as we look ahead to this important meeting?
The Lambeth Conference this year has the potential to be a very positive occasion, or a rather negative one. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, is marketing, if you like, the Lambeth Conference as a time when Anglican bishops come together to listen to one another in a secure atmosphere, to pray together, to learn from each other, and to seek the will of God on a range of issues. For the first time, this Lambeth Conference will not produce resolutions at the end of it. It is a time for bishops to reflect together, to get to know one another on a personal level, and to let the human spirit take over. And through that, I think the Archbishop and all of us are hoping and praying that there will be a better spirit of unity and a willingness to respect different views within the Anglican Communion. We can't all agree, but we do need to have an atmosphere of respect.
There may not be resolutions, but you will be looking at the future structure of the Communion, won't
you? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There will, I think, rather than resolutions, be some decisions made by the archbishops together as a result of what is said at Lambeth, and that will reflect on how the Anglican Communion can operate better as a communion through things like producing an Anglican covenant to which all provinces must sign up, having a common body of canon law, and the regular meetings of the primates, the archbishops, and in those ways to strengthen our unity and to help provinces to realise that they must consult with the rest of the communion before changing the way they operate.
There will, of course, be ecumenical observers at the Lambeth Conference, won't there? Because these issues are of enormous importance to the Catholic Church and other ecumenical partners.
Yes, there will indeed. And I'm delighted that my colleague in the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, Monsignor Don Bolan, is to be the leading Roman Catholic observer. And Monsignor Bolan is a person of experience who has ecumenism in his heart, and he will bring very important reflections from the Vatican with him to the Lambeth Conference.
Yeah, these relations are built on trust and respect and the friendship which has been established over 40 years of close relations in which we have tried to address the doctrinal differences which separate us.
Monsignor Don Boland there, who is the official of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity, responsible for relations with the Anglican world. He told us more about recent developments in the theological dialogue between Catholics and Anglicans.
Over the past year, the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, which is the means by which we address doctrinal issues, has not met. It completed a second phase of work with a publication in 2004 of a document on Mary, and a third phase has not yet been initiated. A second commission is the International Anglican Roman Catholic Commission for Unity and Mission, and that commission published a work during this past year entitled Growing Together in Unity and Mission. This text is an effort to synthesize what the Anglican Roman Catholic dialogue has achieved over the past 40 years. And it was published in the Catholic Church with a commentary by Bishop Bernard Longley, who is the auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Westminster in England. Bishop Longley's commentary offers, from a Catholic perspective, an assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of this document, and it is now published for study within the Catholic Church and within the Anglican Communion. The most significant event coming up in 2008 is without doubt the Lambeth Conference, which brings together Anglican bishops from all over the world. In the past 3 or 4 years, there have been serious internal tensions within Anglicanism concerning human sexuality and concerning structures of authority with which to address those tensions. The Lambeth Conference hopes to address these issues by addressing two subjects, the ministry of bishops. One focus is to equip bishops for their ministry, and the second focus is Anglican identity. The Anglican bishops, under the leadership of the Archbishop of Canterbury, hope to work towards an Anglican covenant, which all Anglican provinces would sign on to. And if they're able to achieve this, this would seriously assist us ecumenically insofar as it would strengthen the internal coherence of the Anglican Communion. From a Catholic perspective, we are always saying that we need to know where our dialogue partner stands, and any strengthening of the internal bonds of within the Anglican Communion, which are also a strengthening of the apostolic faith, would certainly support our ecumenical relations.
My thanks there to Monsignor Don Bolan of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity and to Bishop John Flack, outgoing director of Rome's Anglican Centre.